The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, thank you for bringing in... I love it when Tom comes in with a cookie for me.
Your cookie ration
yeah,
for the week.
Yeah, that oatmeal cookie. I'm easy. Give me an oatmeal cookie and a friend for life. No, but we were friends for life anyway, Tom. Thank you very much. It's always good
you
to see you.
You are very, very welcome.
Thanks very much. Friday, December 1st, we are into my favorite month because I'm a Sagittarian. And a big shout out to all my fellow Sagges. Right?
Yep.
Sarah Garrett Gasson, we like Sagittarius. Tom, when's your birthday?
Today.
No.
December 1st.
Is it really? Happy birthday.
I was born 7 days before Pearl Harbor.
Oh, my goodness.
And mine's the 24th, and I'm a Capricorn, yeah. So I got to speak up for
That's Steve Farley, and Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me in studio. And Sarah, your birthday is tomorrow.
Yes, it is.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
Wow, we got a birthday show going here.
Are we all December birthdays?
Yes, all four of us that are within eyesight.
Wow, it's
of
a theme.
Other.
Well, yeah, this has to be a red letter day. We got to mark this on the calendar.
There
the first
you
time
go.
This, as far as we know, this is first and only time it's happened here at KBOI.
There you go. All right. Steve Farley is with us. I'll introduce Mr. Farley in a moment. But first, a shout out to the media partners who support us, TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. The Tucson Media Group, they have the Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business, Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, Desert News, and we also have support coming from Southern Arizona News Examiner, and also another supporter is the Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview, State Senator Steve Farley, Democratic gubernatorial candidate for governor, and joining us to talk with Steve Farley is Sarah Garrett Gasson, the birthday lady. And, of course, Mr. Farley, it's good to see you. We haven't had you on the show in a couple of months, so I wanted to get an update. There you are running along with David Garcia, professor at ASU in education. He was the 2014 Democratic nominee for superintendent of public instruction who lost to Diane Douglas. But anyway, Senator Farley, you and Mr. Garcia were, presenting in front of a full house at Pueblo High School last night. Right?
Oh, it was great. I think we had
Arizona
almost 300
Education
people there.
Association, yeah.
Yeah, no, and the night before, we had another debate on education in Phoenix and had over 300, maybe 350 people who were there. I love going around the state, and I've been all over the state. I've been Flagstaff 12 times. I've been out to Winslow twice. I've been actually three times. And I've been to Yuma five times, Kingman, Clifton, all over the place. And people are so pumped up and ready for change. I guess it's no surprise, because when you see the reality show we call our presidency right now, people want to create change. And they certainly are seeing that we have a little bit of that here in Arizona as well, when we have a governor who may not quite be as flashy as our president, but he's in putting policies in place that hurt our people in dramatic fashions, and particularly hurt our education system.
Governor Ducey and the Republicans say, though, that you and Mr. Garcia are kind of one-note candidates about education.
Well, we've had four debates that are only about education. But I think when you look at my track record of 12 years upcoming, this is my 12th session upcoming in the legislature, and all the different issues that I have been going right out in the front of, whether it's distracted driving, whether it's more funding for transportation, whether it's investing in our schools, whether it's providing decent quality affordable health care for everybody, working with Jan Brewer to get Medicaid expanded to 400,000 people in poverty. I've got the experience and the knowledge across a broad range of policies, and if anybody doubts that, they should read one of my 282 Farley reports that I have on my website archive.
How many have you done?
282. Since I first got sworn in January 2007, I sat down every Tuesday night in when the legislature's in session and every month.
Not, they're not one or two sentences.
Oh, no.
These Farley reports go on. I mean, they obviously takes time because they're long. They're lengthy.
Yeah, I've been accused of being a policy wonk, but I actually edit them in such a way that people are actually interested in reading them because I give the inside story of what really happens in the legislature. So you don't have to just scratch your head and think, what the heck are they doing up there? You can actually find out what happened, who did what, and how you can get involved and how the thing works and doesn't work. Because I think the more information you get on policy to people, the better decisions voters will make at future elections and the better policy we can get. Because I honestly do believe that if we have good policy at the state, everyone's lives can be better. That's what we're supposed to do in government.
Sarah, and the senator had some good publicity in the Washington Post.
Yeah, it was a story a couple days ago. Right?
A front page above the fold on their Sunday edition.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Whoa.
The week flies by.
Yeah.
About the kind of anti-college education, anti-public funding for higher education movement. And it profiled our very own Frank Antonori, former state legislator and who ran for Congress and did not win. But you were included in that as sort of the foil to this sentiment among some people in the state. How did you end up in this story, and how do you think it reflects what's really going on in Arizona?
Well, somehow the Post reporter, I think, contacted Frank first, and then they asked Frank, well, who do you think would be a good person with the opposite perspective of you? And he mentioned Steve Farley. So I'm grateful for Frank for allowing me to have a national stage in which I can be the voice of reasonable sanity at this time in our country's history. And that's been very useful because that's actually been published all over the country in different papers. Paul Krugman retweeted it. The Washington Post had a little tweet. They went out to their 11 million followers with a graphic with my picture and a pull quote I said. There has been an attack on higher education here in Arizona more than any other state. I think that's why they focused on us. We are by far the outlier of the states that have cut the most and raised the tuition the highest at the same time in our state university system. $2.5 billion since 2008 have been cut from our universities.
One of the things that Frank Antonori said in his very colorful and always entertaining fashion was that not everyone should or needs to go to college. That there are jobs you can have, satisfying lives you can have that without going to college, without blue collar workers, people like that. That it's not necessarily for everyone. What do you think about that?
Well, he's absolutely correct in making that statement. Where he's incorrect is the conclusions he drew from it, which is you should not support higher ed because our higher ed institutions, they create the businesses of the future. They create the people who are inventing stuff that everyone will be working at in the future. They give people a platform to actually allow themselves to lift themselves from poverty in a more effective way than anything we've ever invented. If you take away that opportunity, those stepping stones, if you do things like what the Trump tax bill is doing and eliminate deductibility for student loans, you put that further out of the reach of people in the middle class and people in the working class. And how do you deal with a society in which only those very, very few people at the top are benefiting and everyone else is struggling to get by with no ladders to rise that higher education provides? You don't. So higher education is absolutely key in what we need to have in place and well-funded and well-supported for everyone to provide opportunity in a century where knowledge is more important than any other century we've seen in human history.
Where do you think Governor Ducey is weakest? Where is he vulnerable as far as your campaign is focusing on?
Well, he's weakest in that he hasn't been governing for our state. He's been governing in order to check off a box on his resume to get to somewhere in D.C., that's been real clear. When he signed off that voucher bill that would devastate public education and take money away from individual district schools and give it to private schools without any accountability, he was doing it not for us. He was doing it for the National Conservative Movement, which is why he got three congratulatory tweets right after he signed it from Betsy DeVos, from Jeb Bush, and from Grover Norquist, the guy who said you need to shrink government to the size where you can drown in the bathtub. He's been on the cover of the National Review. He's had an adoring article written about him by George Will. He wants to be president of the United States. He and governing Arizona for us is something that takes somebody focused on the state, not on his career. So that makes him very vulnerable to a lot of people, including a lot of Republican business people who used to support him, who think that he's been frozen out. And there's only a couple of Kansas billionaires named Koch who actually have access to his office. That's why he endorsed the health care repeal before he even knew that it would cost us $11 billion as a state over the next 10 years. And he continued to endorse it after he found that out. That's why he's endorsing this tax plan, this disastrous $1.5 trillion giveaway to the wealthiest in this country. And he endorsed that in a full-throated speech. And then when the press challenged him on some of the specifics, like student loan deductibility, he said, oh, my endorsement wasn't meant to be an endorsement of the specifics. He's doing those things because the Koch network specifically said back in June that they have $400 million they're going to spend on elections for Republicans around the country, including his, but they're not going to spend any of it until we repeal Obamacare and enact their version of tax reform. So he endorsed it all the way without knowing what was in it. And it didn't matter. He was supporting his backers, not supporting the people of Arizona. And even the Tea Partiers don't like that, because I've talked with a lot of them all over, particularly in rural areas. Buster Johnson, Mojave County Supervisor, wrote an op-ed in the Havasu News. It was published all over rural areas and said that Doug Ducey was a hypocrite in those words, because he says he balanced a budget without raising taxes, but he just shoved responsibilities and costs onto cities, counties, and school boards who have to raise taxes to balance their budgets, and the Tea Party doesn't like that any more than we do. There's an opportunity this year for us to come together, red and blue, to be one Arizona, and finally elect a governor that cares about us.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. That's Steve Farley, state senator, who is running as a Democrat for governor of Arizona, but he will also be returning to the legislature. And we'll talk a little bit about perhaps what will be the big issue at the legislature when we return on Buckmaster. It's our Friday Focus interview. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with me from the Arizona Daily Star, where she's the editorial page editor and columnist. Be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. And improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Don Jorgensen and Jim Kelly, plus the latest on the crisis in Korea. We talk with the former U.S. Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. Buckmaster, airing noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI, and always on BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today. Tom Fairbanks, the birthday guy on the other side of the glass. Hey, Tom, we're going to have a party for you tonight, the KVOI Christmas party.
I can't believe it. It's for me, senor.
The KVOI Christmas party will be honoring you tonight, so that's going to be a fun event.
Well,
so.
I don't think they know that.
No, they don't know. Well,
it's a surprise
maybe
party.
Maybe they know now.
For them.
They're going to be surprised.
Yeah, Sarah Gert Gasson is here from The Star. She'll be celebrating a birthday tomorrow, and Steve Farley has a Christmas Eve birthday that I'm sure he's looking forward to. He has lots of time, right, between now and Christmas.
I have exactly one day off my staff gives me between now and Christmas. That may or may not be my birthday.
Yeah, so you've been on the road. I mean, this campaign was launched, I don't know, was it 6 months ago maybe?
Yeah, it was early June that I officially announced. I've been laying the groundwork for maybe about 7 or 8 months before that.
And you know the problem as a Tucson candidate. It's that getting that statewide recognition, and that's why you've been speaking pretty much everywhere there is an event in the state.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of that has changed with social media where everyone's from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Having served in the legislature in the Phoenix area for it'll be 12 years next year, I've not been shy about getting the media up there, and that gets all over the state. But I've still been traveling everywhere because there's no better way to understand how to govern a state than meeting everybody on their own ground and talking to them. I've been in Flagstaff 12 times since June. I've been to Yuma out 5 times. I've been Winslow, Kingman, Clifton, Sierra Vista, all the Santa Cruz County cities. It's something where the more you get on the road, the more you see how much energy there is for change in this state, and not just from Democrats. That's what's really exciting about this.
Here is Sarah Gert Gasson of The Star.
Well, as a Democrat, how do you approach voters in many of the rural areas who probably voted for Trump, who probably because Tucson in our area is relatively Democratic, liberal, and then Maricopa County in Phoenix is very red, and the rest of the state is pretty red too. So, as a Democrat, what is your message to people in those areas who may just hear Democrat and turn off?
Well, I every summer growing up, I spent a month hauling hay by hand at my cousin's farm in southern Utah, in Garfield County, the most Republican county in the country. They're all Trump supporters, but they still like me. And I learned how to speak really, really good Republican. So as I go around the state and talk with different people of different perspectives, I'm able to talk about the same issues with the same positions, but in a language they understand.
Give us an example.
Well, when I go out and talk about education in rural areas to Republican superintendents of school, and I talk about how this voucher bill is basically benefiting private schools in Maricopa and Pima County. And it's taking money away from their public schools, which is all they have out there. They understand that that's taking away their opportunity, and it's going to the center of the state. I talk to people on a lot of rural areas, and a lot of them are really excited about the idea of having somebody not from Phoenix as the governor, someone who understands that this is a state of Arizona, not a county of Maricopa. And they see people, they see that there would be a real opportunity for somebody who reaches out to them. And when I talk about the insider connections and how much they have created this unfair playing field in our finances, that really hits home to people. I've pushed very, very hard. I've talked about on this show many times about eliminating corporate sales tax loopholes because people's eyes glaze over when you talk finance normally. And that's why the theft happens every week in Senate Finance Committee. People come in with their lobbyists and they ask for another break for their specific industry or their specific company, and more money disappears from the general fund that otherwise would go to our schools. I've had great success working across the aisle in the legislature with some of the most conservative members, like Senator David Farnsworth was a co-sponsor on my bill this last year to force review of all 331 of these corporate sales tax loopholes that bleed $13.7 billion away from our general fund every year. And it got out of the Senate 28-2 with big Tea Party names voting for my bill with my name on it. I know that we can work together, and I know that there's a real opportunity for us to finally have a government that just gets down to the basic problem, solving problems. We need to have a great education system. We need to have a great healthcare system. We need to create jobs. And transportation is huge in rural areas, where I've been one of the leading voices to stop the raids on the HERF fund, where money is stolen from our gas taxes and given away in tax cuts instead of being spent on roads. Apache County, they have a 67-year resurfacing cycle right now because they don't have the money to be able to resurface roads until basically there's no road
left
to resurface.
They have a once-a-lifetime
It's shocking what has happened given how our transportation funding has decayed and how the money keeps getting siphoned off for other purposes. And the rural areas really suffer because of all of these things.
What about, so you're running as a Democrat and David Garcia is running as a Democrat. What are the differences between you two as Democrats, as candidates? Are there differences in your policy?
There are some differences. He's on the board of a charter school, and he supports more school choice than I would. I think the school choice experiment has failed on many counts, and I think we need to enforce some of the waste, fraud, and abuse that we've seen in charter schools and the voucher system and the STOs, and we need to scale that back and put that money into our public district schools. In a lot of areas, he hasn't had experience in policy because he's never served in an elected office. I have a broad range of policy. Now that he's started to hear me talk more about things, he's started to adopt some of my positions. I've also won 6 campaigns in a row, and I know how to win. He hasn't won an election. The only election that he ran in was where he lost to Diane Douglas, who literally didn't run a campaign. So I think it's important for us to put a candidate up who is best able to win in November. And I'm determined to do that, and I'm working all the time to get this done. Serving in this legislature for as long as I have, that'll put fire in your belly. And I've got the energy from that fire to do what it takes to win. Because I see it's not just the future of Arizona, it's the future of our democracy in this country that's at stake. And I really want to reach out. And I really want to have everybody see an opportunity to come together and vote for somebody that they can agree with, no matter what side of the aisle they're on. And I think that can happen. People just want grown-ups in the room now. They don't want reality show stars anymore.
What will be the big issue in this legislative session?
Well, education funding is going to be big. Even Governor Ducey is feeling the pressure. He recently said that he gave a directive to all of his agencies to cut back other programs, and they've been cut down to a whole lot of, they've cut so much already, in order to find some money for K-12 education. That's the equivalent of looking for coins under the couch cushion. We need a substantial and serious effort. We need to renew Prop 301, and we need to figure out how that happens. That's the 0.6 sales tax for our education that expires in 2021. We need to talk about that. We need to get teachers meaningful raises. There's 1,900 teaching vacancies right now in the state of Arizona, 1,300 teaching vacancies. And there's over 500 teachers left in the first month of this school year. If we don't get teachers some sort of actual real raise, then they'll continue to flee our state. And we won't be able to get our kids educated with the education they deserve. You can't put a kid's education on hold while you wait to figure out how to get them funded. We have to deal with that crisis right now.
And the distracted driving.
Well, I'm excited about this possibility this year of actually.
How many
getting,
years is that?
This will be my 12th year. I was the first legislator in the country to introduce a bill to ban driving while texting. And this year, I'm introducing a bill that is identical to the bill that finally passed in Texas. So now there's only three states that don't have an overall statewide ban on driving while texting for everyone. We're one of them. But I think if I can make that argument that if Texas could do this, hardly known as a liberal bastion, that we certainly can do this. Why not? Why do we have to wait like Texas did until there's a tragedy like 13 church elders killed by one texting driver while they're on a church tour?
What are the other states, by the way?
It's Missouri and Montana and us. Hmm. And that's it.
I'm proud to be from Missouri.
There you go.
Yeah.
Is that Missouri or Missouri?
I'm from Missouri because I'm from St. Louis. Rural areas, you're from Missouri.
All right. And Tom had a question. Since it's his birthday, I get to ask it. Did you, as being born on the Christmas Eve, Steve, did your parents say you could open one gift and then the rest would be Christmas morning?
No, they actually went out of their way to try to make it special. Mm. The problem is that our extended family Christmas celebration was always on Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay.
So everybody was there already.
Yeah.
And then there was, they made it so it was first Stephen gets to open his presents.
Oh, yeah.
While everyone else watches.
Right.
Which is a very uncomfortable situation to be in when you open the gift from Aunt Hella that's the plaid socks that you didn't really want when you were 8 years old. Now I would like plaid socks. I actually like them.
An early hipster.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, my situation being born on the 16th, that was a little bit different because everyone was talking about Christmas. So I did get into that situation. Well, here's your one gift for your birthday. We'll have more for you under the tree.
Oh, man.
But Sarah being born on the 2nd, you didn't really have to worry about that because Christmas was still 3 weeks away.
It was. And my mom's birthday is the 15th. And so she was always super aware of making it separate because she always got lumped in with Christmas. And so she always made a big point to, we didn't put up the Christmas tree until her birthday. So it was, you know, my birthday, then her birthday, and moving on to Christmas.
I was always jealous of those kids who had a birthday during the school year, though, so that their mom could bring a cake in and everybody could celebrate, and I never had that.
Well, it's all December birthdays all the time here on the Buckmaster Show. Steve Farley, thank you very much. Getting an update on the campaign, a little bit of preview of the legislative session, which is just weeks away, and I hope you have a great holiday season.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. All right. Sarah sticks around. Jim Nitzel joins us. And I know Jim is not a December birthday guy. I'm pretty sure of that anyway. We'll find out when we continue on the Buckmaster Show.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonoochule.org/holidaynights.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our December birthday edition of the... people are probably getting sick of this. But anyway, I do have to ask Jim Ninsel of the Tucson Weekly. Jim, you're not a December baby, correct?
Correct, October.
Oh, so a
Libra.
Oh, a Scorpio.
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm married to a Libra, and I have found that lots of Sagittarians seem to hook up with Librans. They seem to have some kind of affinity there, but
appreciate the balance, perhaps.
Maybe that's it. Sarah, have you heard that also about Librans and Sagittarians?
I think, what is early June? Is that Gemini?
Not quite sure. Are you married to another Sagittarian?
No. Oh. It's my husband's birthday is in early June.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's a Gemini.
Gemini. Okay.
Anyway, Sarah Garrett Gasson is here. She is editorial page editor of the Arizona Daily Star. She's also a columnist. Jim Ninsel is the editor of the Tucson Weekly. Jim, how are you doing?
Doing great, Bill. How's everything down there at the station?
Doing very well, and now that you're the editor there, I know that you've got a lot of stuff that you are juggling, but I do want to talk a little bit about, we just had our interview with Senator Farley, and I think you were able to hear just a bit of it. Being from Tucson, Sarah and Jim, it is an uphill battle for any candidate running for statewide office, correct, Jim?
Yeah, I would say very challenging just because of name ID. If you establish it up in the Phoenix metro area, you've got a lot more voters up there who are going to know who you are. So that's definitely something that's really helpful. Steve's in this race against David Garcia, who ran statewide for superintendent of public instruction. But I'm having not held public office, I'm not sure he has tremendous name ID at this point either.
I would agree with that. I think the power center in Arizona is corporate and political in Phoenix, in Maricopa County, and that it's really hard for anyone outside of that bubble to get elected for a statewide office.
Jim, you wrote in your column, The Skinny, a little bit about John McCain at the point when you were writing it. It was unknown whether Senator McCain was going to vote for the Senate tax bill. He indicated yesterday he is. And really within the hour, Jeff Flake, Jim, has said that he also will join and vote in the affirmative for the Senate tax plan.
Right, except I don't think we have a Senate tax plan yet. That's the most fascinating thing about this. Everyone's saying that they're in support of a bill that has not yet actually been finalized. So, I think it's fascinating to watch how quickly they are pushing this thing through. And then, you know, they're I think Jonathan Chait wrote today, they're basically writing this thing on cocktail napkins as they attempt to secure support for it. And it's just such an astonishing lack of process and lack of transparency and lack of what you would normally want to see in a major piece of tax reform it's tax cuts. It's not even really tax reform in the sense that the 1986 Tax Act was. I had a conversation with Bruce Bartlett, the former Reagan administration official, this week about this topic, and he is just astonished at the absurdity of what you're watching happen. He says if this was a good bill, they wouldn't be pushing it through in the dead of night.
It's a very good point.
Well, you have, even if it passes, this will not be the final form, correct? There'll be then a conference committee, and then who knows what we'll get.
Right. This is not the make or break in its entirety.
Unless it's sent over to the House and the House just approves the Senate bill, which is
true. Possible
if they end up in even more disagreements about details through the conference process.
Well, we have all these possible scenarios now playing out with whether or not Martha McSally is going to run for the U.S. Senate. Then you have the situation where Senator McCain's health is not getting any better. A second tumor apparently was found. That was according to a story I saw from KTAR in Phoenix, saying that they have uncovered a second tumor during his chemotherapy. So that's not a good situation for his future and his health. So you got to wonder now how long he'll be able to even continue on in office, Jim Nenzel.
You do, and you know, certainly do not want to wish any ill upon John McCain and hope that he recovers. But this is a very, very tricky cancer to treat. It generally folks do not have a very good survival rate of this, and it usually takes people very quickly. And so we're just going to have to wait and see. But that certainly does change dynamics in Arizona if we end up with a second Senate race in the state next year.
And again, how would that work if the senator has to resign for health reasons? Do you know the play on that? Jim, do you know that?
It has to do with the timing and when it would occur.
It gets kind of complicated, right?
It is. You know, depending on when it happens, the governor can appoint someone to temporarily fill out the term, and presumably you'd have an election next year, provided if something were to take place within a certain time period.
So the governor could appoint himself, actually.
He could. He has said he would not do that, the most recent comment I heard on that, but we will just have to wait and see.
What if he appoints Martha McSally?
You know, that's entirely possible. However, I think, I don't know that he's that close to Martha McSally, and there may be other people he would prefer to see in that office, and I think there are at least some Republicans who would like to see Martha McSally, you know, stay in what is a very competitive congressional seat. However, it does seem as though her ambitions are taking her in a different direction in any event.
Although she hasn't officially said she's running for Senate to the public and to the constituent, the reports are she said that to her colleagues in the House. So, Jim, do you think that McSally has what are your thoughts on McSally, Congresswoman Martha McSally, versus Kelly Ward, who is running?
That's an interesting question. I interviewed Kelly Ward, former state senator Ward, on the program this week, and she has a very loyal base.
She does, and the base has been what's been driving people into office lately. If you look around the country in a lot of these other races, you just look at Alabama, where Roy Moore ended up the candidate, despite his own contempt for the law in general and the efforts of the so-called Republican establishment to keep Luther Strange in that seat. So here in Arizona, you know, I think Martha would have a very challenging race in that particular matchup. I think Martha certainly has an extraordinary biography with her history as a fighter pilot, as a squadron leader, as somebody who can raise a lot of money. And yet, Kelly Ward, who was a state lawmaker and, you know, has called for investigations into chemtrails and a lot of other pretty loony things, represents a significant challenge to her, and I think that just has a lot to say about where the Republican Party is these days.
And another name that had come up for the U.S. Senate was Jeff DeWitt, who is the Arizona State Treasurer. It's not that high visibility. Well, you know, Governor Ducey was the treasurer, and he went on to become governor. I was going to say, well, it's not that high profile an office, and I guess you could argue that it isn't, but he is leaving. Jeff DeWitt has been appointed to handle all the money for NASA, and that's a huge war chest that NASA has. It's like billions of dollars that he'll be taking care of that. So he's not going to be running for Senate. Jim, going to the CD2 race, you put something in the skinny today. I wanted to ask you about it, that Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias, his name had been mentioned as a possible Democratic candidate for CD2. Have you found out anything more about that?
Yeah, I heard this from a number of sources last week, including some pretty high-ranking ones who are close to Richard. However, I heard from other sources later this week that he has gave it some thought and has decided he's not going to do it. So I think that would have made the race, the Democratic primary, a lot more interesting had Richard decided to get into it, as well as seeing a lot of interesting dominoes fall in terms of who would replace him on the Board of Supervisors. But it looks like we're not going to see that happen.
And the guessing game continues. It's like dominoes, right? Mm-hmm. So if Martha McSally does announce for Senate, you've got then the CD2 Republicans are going to have to put up somebody. And we keep hearing, you go ahead and describe who you're hearing, Jim Nitzel.
Well, I've heard the two main contenders I'm hearing are Leah Marquez Peterson, who runs the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and Ted Vogt, a former state lawmaker. And I think the interesting dynamic there is that Leah is probably a better candidate for the general election, as she has taken some moderate positions from time to time, and that's a district that's pretty evenly split between Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, and a moderate has a better chance of winning than a bomb thrower. However, I think she has trouble in a primary, you know, for some of the same reasons that Martha McSally has some troubles with a primary, in that Leah has, you know, taken a very supportive position towards Dreamers and comprehensive immigration reform and other issues that are an anathema to the Republican base at this point. Ted Vogt, on the other hand, would probably do well in a primary, but would have a lot more trouble in a general.
And Ted he's got an interesting background. He's a former military guy, and he also, he's head now of the State Veterans Affairs, correct?
He's over at the Corporation Commission.
Oh, okay. Well, he's had quite a resume, right? I mean, he was in the state legislature, then he was at Veterans Affairs, now he's over at the Corporation
Commission. Heading up the Corporation Commission as executive director.
It's you, once you get into that sort of orbit, you just sort of go from place to place to place.
So again, Jim, getting back to what we talked about at the very beginning with Steve Farley, have you seen any polling about Governor Ducey, and is he fairly secure in a race against Farley and or Mr. Garcia, Professor Garcia?
Well, you know, I think Democrats have had a very hard road in statewide elections in Arizona in recent years. But I think next year is going to be pretty fascinating to watch because of the wave that seems to be building when you look at what's going on with the congressional races, how folks are polling there. And national mood plays a big role in these things. I would certainly give the advantage to Doug Ducey at this point. But that said, politics has become very unpredictable in recent years.
Especially if a third party joins in the race. There could be a group that believes that Doug Ducey is not Trump enough, and you could have an independent that would join, and then that would really throw things. Who knows what would happen?
Yeah, and you've got Tim Jeffries, who was the former head of DES, threatening to get into the race. So we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, Doug Ducey's going to have a lot of money to campaign with.
All right. Sarah, what do we have coming up Sunday in the Arizona Daily Star?
Well, we will have and it's up online now, a response from Raul Grijalva about reporting on claims of a hostile work environment and being drunk at work. That he is strongly refuting, and so that will be on Sunday, although it's on Tucson.com right now. And
oh, it's already up.
It's already up online. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. We've decided it was of such public interest that people would we shouldn't wait. And then I'm probably going to be writing about sexual harassment, and our editorial is going to be about the idea of DARC, the initiative Terry Goddard, former AG, is behind against DARC money.
We're going to have Terry a week, not next week, week after next. All right, Jim, and your cover story, Tom Miller, my friend Tom Miller, who is writing about Cuba, kind of a best of from Tom, right, and his writings about Cuba.
Yeah, I had a nice conversation with him last week ahead of the publication. Got an excerpt from his new book, which I encourage everybody to go out and get. A lot of great books from Tucson authors this year if you're out shopping for Christmas presents. Support those local authors.
Yes, and that Miller's work is published by University of Arizona Press, the new book, my friends over there.
Yeah.
Namely, Rosemary Brandt, who also helps me out here on the show. So a little plug out to Rose and to the UA Press. And I know I'm over the limit, Tom. I'm about 20 seconds and counting late. But speaking of all the great books this year, we're doing our annual Southwest Books of the Year on this program. That's going to be December 12th, where we'll name the top books of the year. But that's coming up. Jim Nintzel, thank you, Jim. Have a great great rest of the weekend, okay?
Same to you, and same to Sarah.
And Sarah, happy birthday to you, Sarah, tomorrow. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks very much.
All right. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone.
Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your BBB here to share two of our 12 tips to a fun and safe holiday season. First tip, do your research by reading product reviews, checking BBB.org for business profiles, and compare pricing. Second tip, don't click on links and promotional emails from senders you don't recognize, and watch out for lookalike domains. To read all of our BBB holiday tips, visit bbb.org/holiday helper. Happy holidays from the entire team at Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, which makes a great weekend getaway. Check out southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the many wonderful places to stay and the many recreation opportunities like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or just hanging out in historic downtown Silver City. All of it available for you at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the president and CEO of the award-winning Russell Public Communications, Matt Russell, who is the Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist. He is always in search of a fine adult beverage and a great meal. How are you, sir?
Well, it's the weekend. I hope that answers your question.
There you go. There you go. You know, a lot of people talk about pairings. Do you have anything on that?
I do, you know, but first, let me be the first to wish you a happy National Fried Pie Day. Bill, I'm serious, you can't make this stuff up. And to celebrate the glory that is the fried pie, 1912 Brewing Company will be hosting a beer and empanada pairing party at 4 p.m. today in their tap room over at Forbes Boulevard. Three different empanadas will be showcased alongside a different 1912 beer. It's the perfect fried pie pairing today from 4 to 8 p.m.
Speaking of cocktails...
Yeah, even more pairings are planned for the weekend when Tucson's own Hamilton Distillers teams up with Epizodi Kitchen and Cocktails up at the Hilton El Conquistador tomorrow night for a multi-course Whiskey Del Bac pairing dinner. And Chef Josh Willett has pulled out all the stops with confit duck porridge, roasted beef tenderloin, cured salmon,
Each of them alongside a different local whiskey, including a brand new winter release that hits the shelves tomorrow. I say warm the soul, soul tomorrow night with some craft spirits and cocktails and cuisine.
What's going on at Mulligan's?
Well, you know what? When you think of sports bars, Bill, you don't automatically think of memorable culinary moments. But our friends at Mulligan's over there on Golf Links in Harrison, they're upping their game tomorrow for a grand reopening party that is going to feature some show-stopping specials on what they call chef-driven food and signature cocktails. Real food at a sports bar doesn't always compute, but Mulligan's will challenge that starting tomorrow with all-day happy hour, and every entree is $10 or less.
What's in the Inside Tucson Business column that is also reprinted in the Tucson Weekly?
Absolutely, Bill. You know, there's a restaurant in town that is currently going through more than 20 pounds of peeled garlic every day.
Whoa.
And I report on their story behind what's called the Stinking Rose in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business. And as you said, also check it out in the Tucson Weekly.
Oh, boy. All right. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for its content. Original theme music courtesy of Christophon. Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, thank you, Rose, for the work you do on the program. Also, the team here at KVOI. The birthday guy, Tom Fairbanks, my producer and engineer on Friday. Happy birthday to you, Tom. We'll celebrate together tonight at the KVOI Christmas party, which I am looking forward to. Pretty much a big thanks to everyone here at the home station KVOI, and do appreciate everything they do. All of us wishing you a safe and pleasant weekend.